real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, I have told you on many occasions that I was born in a mother and baby home in 1963. Well, another woman who was also born in a mother and baby home to an unmarried mother who was 19 years of age in Killarney back in 1949 is on the line, and it's Elizabeth Coppin. Good afternoon to you, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Niall. And don't take this nasty or anything, can I pick you up there? I wasn't born in a mother and baby home. I was born in a county home.
Oh, okay, sorry, I do apologise.
There's a big difference between the two.
Okay.
The state, the Irish government owned the county homes, and the church owned the
One was run by the state and one was run by the church, of course, absolutely, yeah. Okay, yeah. I do apologise.
So it's very important, that's why they're not including the county homes in all of the county homes in the mother and baby homes, because the government owned them.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you today was because you're making a bit of history, because as a Magdalen survivor, and I'm going to talk about how you ended up in the Magdalen laundries, you basically have been denied justice by the state for over 20 years, and you're now taking your case to the United Nations. A UN committee against torture has basically begun an investigation into the state's treatment, or into your treatment by the state.
Yes, definitely by the state.
So let's go back a bit in time. So you're born in 1949, and in 1951 you went to an industrial school in Tralee.
That's right, yes.
And then from the age of 14 you spent some time in the laundries in Cork and in Waterford. And the reason, of course, that they're looking at your case or investigating your case, because, of course, this was already addressed by the Irish state. And according to them, of course, you waived your statutory right to take any action against the state after you had already received an ex gratia payment. But your claim is, of course, that that doesn't cover the torture that you went through.
No, and it hasn't been covered by them. Let's get back to when Enda Kenny made the apology.
Very sincere apology, I think, too, Elizabeth. I think it was sincere.
You what? Sorry?
I think it was a very sincere apology. I remember the speech.
That's what I believe, anyway, and I still, a lot of people would disagree with me, but I genuinely thought Enda Kenny was genuine.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think he meant it. Because
he was very moved by it. I remember he was almost in tears. I remember.
Yes, and I really thought it was lovely. But he did say also that the government, or the Irish government, I suppose he's talking about, they would respect and recommend accept all of Judge Quirk's proposals. But they haven't done that. They changed quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the government that nearly lost out, or perhaps lost out in the Irish election, because the Irish people are probably wising up to what they're like. And so, I'm very angry with them.
You've had a very difficult life, and I can understand why you're angry when you look back at the life that you've had, which was, of course, because of the state and because of the way we dealt with situations. I myself, for example, as I mentioned at the start, I was born in a mother and baby home. In St. Patrick's Road and Patrick's home on the Navan Road. My mother was coerced into putting me up for adoption. I could have ended up with a very different life. Don't get me wrong, I had some great adoptive parents and I ended up with a good life.
Yeah, but it's never the same, because it's about your identity and who you are.
Well, I was denied. I was denied a relationship with my sister for 50 years.
You need to know where you come from.
Yeah, absolutely. So describe for me what it was like when you ended up in a laundry or an industrial school, first of all, in 1951. I mean, for people who don't understand what an industrial school was or what a laundry was, when you went to a laundry
school, they were conveniently, again, by the Irish state when they became independent in 1920, they changed the name from industrial schools to orphanages.
Mm.
For the respectability of the name on the outside. You know the old saying, a street angel and a house devil.
Of course, yeah. Looks okay. So
that's
it must be okay. Yeah.
Schools were.
Yeah.
And that's why the Irish government of the time changed the names.
And when you went then to the laundries from there, at the age of 14 years of age, I mean, remember now, you're going to, an adult place where there would have been older women too. You were sent to work, essentially.
You didn't know where you were going. You were just called, I can only speak for myself, I was called up to the parlour. I should have been at school, but my schooling was nearly 3 years earlier, prevented from going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of this, it was the education department who were responsible for us,
mm-hmm,
in every aspect of life. they certainly weren't doing their job in our educational side of it.
Well, I remember seeing a letter from the Department of Education printed recently in one of the newspapers, and it was a very old letter, and they had sent a young girl to the laundries at the age of 14 because she was caught acting like a common prostitute up a lane. She was caught kissing a boy up a lane.
That's the narrow-mindedness of these men that were in the Irish government, or still are sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Because we had different morals in society. Yeah.
Women.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happened to the boy that she was kissing up the lane?
Oh, he got away with it, probably.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
But this is what I can't understand. I went into the bank. I've just got to say this to you now. I went into the Magdalen laundries, like a lot of us, directly from the industrial school, underage, trafficked by nuns with the stamp on it from the education department, the Irish government, permission.
Mm-hmm.
Some women, because they had a child, were put into the Magdalen laundries. But the men, who were the fathers, why weren't they encouraged to take responsibility to look after these women and children? And these decisions were made by the Catholic Church and the Irish government. And that era, in 1920, when they got the freedom of Ireland, this is what they did to their own citizens. And I can guarantee you, Niall, people probably, I often think about these things. Some of these women who went into these Magdalen laundries, their families fought for the freedom of the country. And this
I often wonder, you know, I mean, Liz, you raise a great question there, Elizabeth, and I've often wondered over the years when I've talked about TUM and I've talked about all the different organisations and laundries and everything else, I've often wondered that we never have ever, and we don't discuss, all these women are unmarried mothers, as they were known of at the time, and illegitimate children, of course, was the stamp that was put on my little form when I was born, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was born illegitimate. That nobody ever mentions the fathers, who these men. Now, I believe my own mother was. From what I believe, she may have been raped, and it may have been a priest. But in saying that, nobody ever talks about these men who absconded their social responsibility, and the government never made these men stand up to their responsibilities.
No, and that, you see. Again, you see, even today, the Irish government are not admitting they violated the women's human rights.
And what do you say to people, Elizabeth? And I wouldn't say it, but there are people out there who say, "Well, Elizabeth, you know, that was the times. It was, you know."
But that's ignorance.
Yeah,
that was not the times. That was the mindset of Irish society and the Catholic Church working together, and they were running down the British who were running Ireland before that. But as soon as they got the freedom of Ireland, they abused it. You look at, they changed the industrial schools from industrial schools
to orphanages,
mm-hmm. the title.
Mm-hmm.
The Magdalen laundries, where the women used to go in there, and it wasn't for women with babies, or it was for old people who couldn't, who needed a rest from life, who couldn't cope. They could be alcoholics, they could have had getting away from abusive partners, they could have recovering from illnesses, it could have been a bereavement in the family, but they were, every one of those women were free to go when they felt strong and wanted to go. They were never ever held against their will, contrary to what the Irish government's propaganda is. Neil, every country, let's not kid ourselves, every country in the world, they have their own propaganda.
Mm-hmm. And their own problems, and of course, and their own bad history too.
But Ireland, me as an Irish citizen, I feel we're the biggest hypocrites going when it comes to our own issues.
Elizabeth, your case, yes? Your case now is based on the facts, of course, of the abuse that you endured during that time. And I read recently a story where you talked about you were locked in a cell. I mean, what did they do to you while you were there?
Oh yeah. Anyone that's listening will confirm it. First of all, in the first laundry I went to, it was called Peacock Lane in Cork, or St. Vincent's or St. Mary's. They liked fancy names.
Mm.
They were all saints, but none of them were there around there to help us.
No.
At night time, we all had a cell. We had to sleep in a cell, and the doors were locked from the outside, and we couldn't use toilets. We had to go to the toilet on a pot, and slop out every morning in the stench. And you can imagine women from younger than me. I was 14. There was one or two younger ones. There was 11-year-olds there. I remember that. And up to till they were dropping dead.
So essentially, these are like you were treated like you were in some sort of Victorian
about
prison.
And safety, locked into a cell at night, working in a laundry. We were lucky. None of us died in a fire there. And then they also had a severe place where I was in. It was called the padded cell.
Okay.
And you were threatened. It was like you'd have to be institutionalized to understand what I'm going to say next. There was a sort of, when you go into an institution, after a while, you pick up the body language or the language, even though you're not communicating much about it, just whispers and nods.
Yeah.
And you, somebody mentioned to me that there was a place called the padded cell. Be careful, you don't want to go there. And that was it. So you keep your head down and you do your slaving every day for to keep the Catholic Church and the Irish government looking smart and pretty and rich in money. But there we go. And then one day I was doing shirts and she came over to me and she said, you stole, where are the sweets you stole from so-and-so? And I said, what sweets? And she said, she had a visitor and you took them. I said, I've been here all day. And the other girl that was with me, she said, no, we've been here all afternoon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know why she picked on me. Who knows? I probably looked at her the wrong way.
And what did they do to you? What did they do to you when she picked on you?
They dragged me up to the padded cell.
Okay.
There was keys to this one. It was still locked on the outside, but she had a bunch of keys for this one. And she threw me in there. Pushed me in there, I should say. She didn't throw me in. She pushed me in there. And in there was a mug, an enamel mug with water. There was an enamel plate with a slice of dry bread on it. There was no bed, no mattress. There was an air vent.
How did you go to the bathroom, if you needed to go to the bathroom?
Right up high. You couldn't reach it anyway, even if you wanted to escape.
Yeah.
That was it, really.
And how long were you left in there? And what happens when you needed to go to the toilet?
Oh, there was a pot there. Sorry,
oh,
they locked their pot.
Okay.
That was the main thing.
And how long were you in there for? How long would they leave you there for?
I was in there for 3 days and three nights. But,
oh, my gosh.
But, having said that, the nun would come up. It must have been 9 o'clock when the lights were out or something, or just before. She'd come up and she'd have a member of us, one of us, you know, when I say member, one of us who were locked up or trafficked in there, one of the women, with her. And I'd have to get my pot and go out, walk, without a lie, maybe 6 feet across the hallway to the proper toilets and sinks to empty it.
Right.
My mug of water, and I'd be frog marched back into 6 feet away again. And the keys were turned and I was in there. And this happened for 3 days and three nights.
Okay, and you went through that for multiple years as well. But can I ask you, you know, and I'm not meaning to rush you, obviously I'm limited by time, but can you still, when you sleep at night, Elizabeth, do you still see those nuns' faces? All of whom are dead now, I'm assuming.
I'll tell you now, and I'm not going to lie. When I met my husband and we first got married, I used to scream and scream in my sleep. That's the God's honest truth.
I can imagine, yeah.
And I used to say, oh my, she's coming. Who is? She's coming up the gate. Look, and I used to freak out. Just nightmares, but it was so real. Now at my stage in life,
you're 70 now.
Very seldom now, but instead it's gone a different way. It's gone, now what I do a lot is, did this really happen to me? No, that couldn't have. That never happened. And then I would say, you know, it did. And this was the Irish government doing this to their own Irish people.
Well,
and
okay,
then a lot of the time, yes, I cry quietly because you're just despair to the end. This is something, us women and their children who suffered because of it, we have to take this to the grave with us. And we have to take the double whammy of the Irish government still abusing us. I'll give you an example. We went to the reunion, the Magdalens. We would not have got that. That was part of Judge Quirk's. It was 5 years later when this was allowed to happen, only because the Justice for Magdalen team, Claire McGettery, Dr. Maeve O'Rourke, and Nora Casey from, I don't know what.
I know Nora. I know. I'm aware of Nora Casey, and she'll be very well known, yes.
They sorted it all out with the Irish government, reminding them, I presume, I don't know, I didn't ask them about it. That it was one of Judge Quirk's recommendations.
So there was an obligation to do this. So, and just to remind people, and I know everybody's listening today and absolutely has the ultimate empathy for the situation that you went through. You're now taking this case, of course, to the UN Committee Against the Torture that was bestowed upon you, and you're having that investigated. And we all support you. And the best of luck to you, Elizabeth. I hope that goes well, and I hope that it's dealt with properly and it's investigated fully, and that you get the result that you want.
Niall, I'm really sorry. I just need to ask you if I can say one more thing that is so important to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Minister Flanagan once said to, I think it was Claire Byrne or somebody on Irish telly, or on the radio, I've forgotten her name, Byrne or something.
Claire Byrne,
and
yeah.
And he said to her, we can't address the county homes because they go back to the famine times. Can I correct this to the Irish people?
Yes.
Wrong. Propaganda. Truth and fact, the names were changed to county homes in 1920 when Ireland became a free state. So why are they putting us down as county homes, mother and baby homes, and related matters? I am not a related matter. They are not doing all of the county homes. They're doing four. And is that justice in Ireland? And they own all of those county homes.
Well, they've a lot of work done. I can tell you now, Elizabeth, listening to your story and listening to the stories of many women that I've heard over the many years, they've a lot more work to do to address this whole problem. Elizabeth, listen, thank you very much indeed for coming on the air.
And just clearing out the rubbish from Ireland, because if we're not careful, all this is going to experience, or the cycle will continue.
Oh, we will. It will come back to haunt us in many, many years' time. Elizabeth, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air and sharing your story with us today. It was lovely to hear. When I say it was lovely to hear, it was lovely to hear your experience, and I hope and I wish you the best of luck, and everybody supports the case you're taking to the United Nations.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.